if I think about all of the, someone told me, I always say I don't know the word for it. They don't want to say culture or history. Somebody told me that it should be called fromsomeness. If I think of all the fromsomeness behind anything, and what my attitude towards it is, I think of different kinds of mastery. As a kid, I played the saxophone. You could say professionally, in the sense that I played it and people paid me money to pay it. That is more glorious than it was. But I did play it, and I recently started again. And if you think about the saxophone, it's an example of what I'm talking about, because it's a European instrument invented by a guy named Sax. But it's not. It's not a European instrument. It's an American instrument. Indeed, it's a black American, African American instrument. It was made so by geniuses like Coleman Hawkins and Charlie Parker and Lester Young and Ben Webster and so forth. Geniuses, artists, some of them great artists, made it theirs. And it seems to me, to return to determinism, if I think, what would one like to do with the English language or with culture or whatever, wherever this is, one would like to make it one's instrument. I recently, about a couple of years ago, I bought a horn and started playing again. And they now have these wonderful CDs with sidemen on them. And you can make a mistake and want to start, you can push a button, and they go back to the beginning, and they don't smirk at one another. You can play with them. This poem is called Ginza Samba, which is the title of an actual jazz tune played, among others, by the late Stan Getz. And most of the things in this poem are true. Ginza Samba. A monosyllabic European called Sax invents a horn, walla wurla di wa, a kind of twisted brazen clarinet, but with its column of vibrating air shaped not in a cylinder, but in a cone, widening ever outward, and bawa, spouting infinitely upward through an upturned, swollen golden bell rimmed like a gloxinia, flowering in Sax's Belgian imagination and in the unfathomable matrix of mothers and fathers. As a genius graven humming into the cells of the body, or saved in the resonating grail of memory, changed and exchanged, as in the trading of brasses, pearls, and ivory, calicos and slaves, slave laborers and slave girls, two cousins in a royal family of Niger, known as the birds or hawks. In Christendom, one cousin's child becomes a, quote, favorite Negro, end quote, ennobled by decree of the Tsar, and founds a great family, a line of generals, dandies, and courtiers, including the poet Pushkin, killed in a duel concerning his wife's honor, while the other cousin sails in the belly of a slave ship to the port of Baltimore, where she is raped and dies in childbirth, but the infant will marry a Seminole, and in the next chorus of time, their child fathers a great hawk or bird with many followers, among them this great-grandchild of the Jewish manager of a Pushkin estate, blowing his American breath out into the wiggly tune, uncurling its triplets and sixteenths, the Ginza Samba of breath and brass, the reed vibrating as a valve, the ether, the unimaginable wires and circuits of an ingenious box here in my room in this house, built 100 years ago while I was elsewhere. It is like falling in love. The atavistic imperative of some one voice or face, the skill, the copper filament, the golden bellful of notes twirling through their invisible element from Rio to Tokyo and back again, gathering speed in the variations as they tunnel the twin haunted labyrinths of stirrup and anvil, echoing here in the hearkening instrument of my skull. Thank you.